Podcast Land. I am here today with Never Ever. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for asking.
Oh, gosh. So for our listeners, Never Ever is going to be talking about all of the various Stony Avenger adjacent cartoons, of which Ferret and I know nothing. So we are very excited to learn alongside with all of you today. So before we get going, we have a tradition here on the podcast to start off every conversation with our fandom origin story. So Never Ever, would you let us know how you got to us?
Well, I actually became interested in Stony from watching Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. There's a very particular episode, The Man Who Stole Tomorrow, which is a 3-episode arc starring Kang the Conqueror versus Tony and Steve, pretty much. And there's an opening sequence to this The Man Who Stole Tomorrow, where Tony and Steve are having a conversation in the Avengers kitchen. And I just said, I just want more of that. And I had injured my arm pretty badly and was on rest where I couldn't stitch or do some of my other hobbies. So that's how I ended up reading more, because I asked a friend and said, I like this. Where can I find more of it? And here we are.
Amazing. So cartoons are the way in for you. Do you interact with other mediums, or is the cartoons kind of the main thrust?
No, I've written a lot of MCU. I've written a lot of 616. I started writing Avengers Assemble because I like team-based fic, and I didn't know 616 well enough to start writing that type of team-based stuff. So Avengers Assemble was a bit more accessible for me writing-wise, and I felt that the relationship with Tony and Steve was more comedic in nature, and I liked that. I also had written some of the Marvel Adventures Avengers fic, which is a comics-based canon, and I just gravitated more to something that I kind of understood the dynamics better and stuff. I also find sometimes the cartoons are a little easier to use for storytelling and the types of stories I want to tell than, say, MCU, which has developed its own significant dynamics since I started writing. Because I've been writing on and off, writing a lot since 2013. So I was there for the big explosion of 2012 MCU fic.
The flood of Tower fic. Yes. And then all of the other things. So before we get any further, can you break it down for me? So I know that there's Avengers Assemble, in which I'm told that they basically act like they're married. I know that there's Earth's Mightiest Heroes, but I don't really know anything about it. And then I don't know any of the other shows. So can you walk me through this?
Well, I'm going to give some opinion too along the way. So essentially there has been some form of Marvel animation since the 1960s when they did the motion comics, where they took pictures, elements from the comics, and then put them on the screen. So there's always been some form of Captain America or Iron Man on animation. And the thing is that there hasn't been a true Avengers cartoon until Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. There were some different cartoons. There was an Iron Man cartoon from 1994, but that was Iron Man and Force Works, which was a team he had in the 616 that was adapted. And it's very pro-Tony, so it's only centered around Tony. Then you have an Avengers cartoon, but it was led by Hawkeye and a lot of some other members of the traditional members of the Avengers, like Scarlet Witch and Vision, I believe, and Wonder Man. But that had like maybe a guest appearance from Captain America and a guest appearance from Iron Man. So what we understand in Avengers didn't come around until Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which came out around the beginning, just before around Thor and the release of Thor and stuff. I didn't check the dates before this, but that's around then, around 2010, 2011. And it was supposed to be, it was covered every major story that the Avengers did in the comics. So it's essentially a really great show to look at if you want to see comic adaption, an animation adaption of the comics. There have been animated films. There are three odd films. It's the Avengers, the Avengers 2, and the next Avengers. And this is an odd comic adaptation of an animation adaptation of the Ultimates. So they take the Ultimates team and they neuter the heck out of it. So you have Puppy Dog, Captain America. They don't know what to do with Iron Man. So it's like a lot of the themes and stuff from the Ultimates, but it's in a cartoon. And it's not really the Ultimates because they don't want to show you the Ultimates as they really are in the comics. And then they did a follow-up to that, and they still don't know what to do with Iron Man, and they still don't know how to make Steve anything other than Wounded Dog, Puppy Dog Steve, and they don't even interact. So I couldn't even recommend these films because the interaction is very poor. And then they do Next Avengers, where Tony raises the kids of all his dead friends, which... again,
is a mood.
So you have basically Tony yelling at Steve and Natasha's son, James. Of course, he always has a son named James, and telling him to clean up his room, which I'm sure we all live for. Then there's another cartoon, and a lot of these are available on Disney Plus or on the shady streaming service of your choice, and. This one is Superhero Squad, and this one people may have encountered originally was on Cartoon Network. And again, and this ties into why I don't think there were a lot of animated adaptations of Captain America. And this one, again, is Iron Man leading a team. He has Thor, he has Hulk, and all this other stuff, and all these other people. And it's very kid-oriented. They took some writers, comedy writers from Marvel to do it. There was a guy who did Tiny Marvel's comic strip, and he was behind this. So there's maybe three or four jokes per episode that are specifically Marvel-related jokes that pay off if you know what's going on. But it's not something I would recommend for Tony Steve shippers. I mean, I did post recently on my Tumblr a picture of Tony holding up a Captain America keychain he owns, but that's very few interactions. They share the same voice actor. I know there are a few people out there who feel that there is some stoniness in this, but they interact so rarely, and Steve is such a character of Steve in this show that it's not something. So this is the kind of stuff that was out there. You'll see references to Steve in X-Men Evolution and in the X-Men famous 1992 X-Men comic cartoon because of the connection to Wolverine. So, of course, if Wolverine's in World War II, you got to bring Steve in and so forth. So that's what we're seeing before Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. And there's another around this time too called Iron Man Armored Adventures. And this is Teen Tony lives his entire 616 life over a period of two seasons, essentially, where he goes through Armor Wars and Extremis and all the major storylines. And he's a teenager. His friends Rhodey and Pepper are teenagers with him. His entire supporting cast and villains are teenagers or just above teenagers, featuring a Justin Hammer who tries to zombify the world. So it's fun and interesting, but the most interesting episode out of that are there two that reference Steve. And there's one where Tony is learning about Dunkirk and it reflects his fight with Ghost. So you see that's when Steve is shown in a real world thing, because they actually have a test in that show where Steve is the answer, like how many battles did Captain America fight? And so you know he's part of this world. But the big one is Extremis, and this has actually led to some fic and fix and stuff, because they end this before he becomes an Avenger. There's a hint that the Avengers are coming, but there's Extremis. And Tony's got a pacemaker because, of course, Tony has some form of the arc reactor at some point in every cartoon. So he's got this arc reactor and it's not working anymore. And they say he can't be Iron Man. And they talk about Extremis, and they bring Tony into this room, and there is Steve loading in a tank because S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't know how to defrost him for some reason. And they say, maybe you can work with this with us someday, Tony. And so the big thing is that Tony injects himself with Extremis in front of this floating Steve. And so we find that interesting. We're clearly in Iron Man Armored Adventures. They're expecting that Tony is still influenced and inspired by Steve in some way.
So that's everything before we hit Midas Heroes and right. Avengers Assemble, which are the two kind of major forces, am I correct, mm-hmm. in this kind of conversation?
Yes. Those okay. are the ones that people are going to care about. Okay. I have not seen the Marvel's Avengers Next or whatever. There's a Japanese cartoon that's been just put on Disney Plus, and I haven't seen that one yet. I meant to see if a couple episodes before this interview, but I didn't get to it. I'm sorry.
I will never forgive you. Just kidding, so, obviously.
So Earth's Mightiest Heroes is great. The thing to remember about the thing about cartoons is that cartoons, animation, commercial animation, as they show on kids' television and stuff, is usually limited to 52 episodes. It's a long-standing industry thing. It's extremely cynical. The idea
is... So, like, the whole series is 52 episodes.
Right. So that's
okay.
why...
And how long would each episode be then?
They're about 22 minutes sans commercials.
Okay.
So they're 22 minutes. You can see three in an hour. Generally, the idea behind that is the idea that... you can put on a cartoon a day for a month and there will be no repeats. And then you can start up next month because apparently kids have no memories. So that's why, you know, a lot of people will lament the end of Earth's Mightiest Heroes, because Earth's Mightiest Heroes actually predates the purchase of Marvel by Disney.
Okay.
Avengers Assemble is post-Disney purchase.
So is that why we have series? Like, I mean, I know there's a couple series of, right, because Disney really likes money. Yeah, okay.
Right, there's that, but they also like money. And it's like, whenever people talk about cartoons, it's amazing that there were seasons 3, 4, and 5 of Avengers Assemble. But after the first 2 years, after the first two seasons, they start changing the name because that's a different series. And so that's why it's, kids animation is kind of, they care, and it's nice when they come out with really good product, but sometimes they don't. So Earth's Mightiest Heroes was likely to be only 52 episodes. It's not like the Timverse, which is the animated versions of the DC Universe. And even then, they did Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, which again reflects the 52 season order.
Right, and so that's probably why this feels so overwhelming to those of us who aren't part of this world initially. Like, you don't really know where to start. You don't know where to dip in because there's so many titles.
Right. And it's also hard too, because sometimes they are not going to be the most appealing to adult tastes. I think that I enjoy watching the cartoons because I like seeing the story elements broken down. And I can talk a bit more about that with Avengers Assemble, because Avengers Assemble has a different approach and a different look. So with Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which is, I believe, influenced by the Justice League adaptations by Bruce Timm, which was taking classic Justice League stories, putting people into new stories, new situations based on that interaction from the cartoons, it had both an adult and a child sensibility to it. Earth's Mightiest Heroes went for that.
Okay.
And so you don't have an entire amount of interaction between Steve and Tony to the degree you do in Avengers Assemble. But you get all the classic stories and you get some really wonderful episodes.
So folks looking for maybe some comics background, but like comics might be cost prohibitive or access prohibitive, Earth's Mightiest Heroes might be a really great way to dip into that, because the series is much more comics based. Whereas if you're here for, if you're here for the romance, perhaps, and the stony marriage, you want to head towards Avengers Assemble?
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because, for example, the famous Red Zone story from the comics is adapted in Earth's Mightiest Heroes. It's combined with the Winter Soldier story. And so they kind of combine those. So Steve encounters the Winter Soldier for the first time during the Red Zone story, where everybody's attacked by this virus that turns them into Red Skull.
Oh, I'm not familiar with the comics either. So that's what the Red Zone story is. Okay, everybody goes to everybody turns into Red Skull. Oh, that sounds stressful.
Right, and then that's that famous scene where Tony shares his breath with Steve, you know, because Steve can't die and Tony can't.
So, oh yes, our famous self-sacrificing idiots. Yes, yeah.
The slight drawback to Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes is this was, like I said, it's before Marvel, but around the time that the initial phase of MCU comes out. So Tony is a bit more influenced by the depiction of Tony in the MCU. So it's not a straight up Tony, but it is a straight up everybody else. So it's the Man Who Stole Tomorrow arc is really great because it's Kang the Conqueror comes back to, you know, kill Steve.
And that will be linked in the show notes for folks who want to jump straight to that story. Never Ever has graciously provided us entry points. So check the show notes.
And I also, the number one story of all things in Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes is Emperor Stark. And Emperor Stark is, Tony gets taken over by the Purple Man. You know this 6 minutes in, it's not a surprise. And what happens is that Steve is on a mission to save Tony, and featuring a fight between them, and they don't want to fight. So it's great for that tension between them. It's a great relationship. Their relationship has been built over the years. So you feel something there. It's a good connection thing. And you know, Purple Man's from the comics, and it, you know, speaks to some fears Tony has. Tony's very upset with himself at the end of the episode. Steve consoles him. They have many rooftop conversations throughout Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which is great. And that would be those entry points. But they interact with a range of characters, and for part of the series, Steve's a Skrull. So there's that. There's some great stories that people have interpreted and said, Steve's a Skrull. What does that mean for Tony? For Earth's Mightiest Heroes, it was not a canon that I think has a ton of fic for. I think it's because it was happening around MCU. And sometimes the comics canons do tend to be niche, where people, I wish people would give them more of a try, but they do tend to have lesser traffic and lesser interest in the fic side.
I think we've talked about this in other servers I've been in, is that, you know, things beyond the movies often feel impenetrable for people for any number of reasons, which is one of the reasons I'm excited to now have entry points into Avengers Assemble in particular, because I've been looking to pick that up. So speaking of Avengers Assemble, it is, what's kind of the premise behind it? What are their relationships before they, you know, jokingly, I guess, get married?
Yeah, it's weird because this is why Earth's Mightiest Heroes is important to know about this, because when they decided to do Avengers Assemble, they claimed it was a continuation of Earth's Mightiest Heroes. It is not. It is a PR fiction. They are starting from scratch. So Avengers Assemble is a collection of characterization, character design, and maybe a couple stories from the comics and from the MCU. They kind of pick and choose what they want. And it is a show that is for, the audience is for an 8 to 12 year old child. So, and maybe a little younger. So what it's about is all about the team coming together. And so the beginning episode, and this is the episode that just grabs you, because it's Tony watching his friends in various fights and saying, they're doing great without me. And then Steve gets captured by the Red Skull and all hell breaks loose for Tony. So Tony pulls the team together again to go rescue Steve. So the first two episodes of Avengers Assemble is essentially Tony wanting to save Steve, and then the second half of the episode is Steve wanting to save Tony.
So every fanfic that's ever been written.
Exactly. And that's what's so amazing about Avengers Assemble is there's a de-aging story, there's a body swap story, there's the Steve, Tony gets killed off, we think, but he's separated story, and they find him again. I mean, and the payoff is great. I mean, they are so involved, but the thing behind Steve and Tony is, so they have these team dynamics and they're supposed to all work with each other. So it's the basic team from the comics, from the movies, which is Steve, Tony, Clint, of course, Natasha, Hulk. He stays Hulk for most of the time. We see Bruce in season 3 or 4. And they bring in the point of view character, who's Sam. Sam is 17 in this.
Okay.
And so Sam's our point of view character. So there's a lot of things we see from his point of view, so you can learn about the team and stuff. The thing about Avengers Assemble is it really doesn't, I think, hit its stride until about a third into the first season. So it starts off with the Big Bang, and then you have a few point of view, let's get to know people episodes. And the general pairings are, it's Thor and Hulk are learning how to be friends together. Clint and Natasha, who have been friends beforehand, are learning to be friends, without being spies, and how their friendship works. And then you have a couple side things where Clint needs to learn how to work with Scott when they bring Scott on Ant-Man later, the Scott version of Ant-Man. And then the big one is, how do Steve and Tony work together? So that's why you have a lot of Tony and Steve episodes, because this is a kid's show about teamwork and getting along with teams. And Steve and Tony must become team members. And that's great. You see a really great version of Steve. You see a really great version of Tony. Tony's character beats in this is, I want to work alone. I want to predict the future. That's the first season, a lot of predict the future. He's got baggage from dealing with his dad, which, you know, it plays out because in the second season and stuff. So there's a lot of give and take between them. So that's why you have the episode of Super Adaptoid. And Super Adaptoid is great because it's another scene. It's the famous scene where Steve throws himself in front of the Super Adaptoid's heat beam that tries to take out Tony. And then that Super Adaptoid is about why Steve's important. And that's where you start seeing a ton of Steve and Tony interaction as characters. Because at the end of Super Adaptoid, you have the beginning of Super Adaptoid is Steve and Tony talking about the future and Steve's place in the future. And Steve's like being sarcastic and funny. And that's great because in general, in animation, Steve comes off as very stiff or old fashioned. And even in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which is a great comic adaptation, tends to go with Steve as a little stiffer, as a little less relatable, just a hero on the screen, very heroic, all that. In Avengers Assemble, Steve is a personality, and he's great because he's sarcastic, he's funny, he does dumb things. And he is a badass as Steve, but he's a 20-year-old guy, you know, 20-plus-year-old guy. And, you know, and that's great. And I think that's what Super Adaptoid does. So that lays the foundation for the really great episode, which is In Deep. And this is a pure Steve Tony episode. They go undercover. They're trying to find out what's going on with the Cabal. And they're flirting and they're talking to each other and Steve's, but you can do this, Tony, even though Tony doubts himself. They learn a little bit from each other. It's fabulous. And I think that's the one I generally recommend. If you've been in Stony fandom, you've seen the gift sets from this. You've seen the references to it. And this is the one that really cements their relationship and the relationship dynamic in the cartoon. And it's fun. It's 22 minutes. It's just Steve and Tony on an adventure. And all the stuff you love about them is there. You know, the joking, the, you know, Tony's self-deprecation, how they work together extremely well. you know, and that's the real introductory episode.
Fascinating. So after everybody goes and watches that episode and then falls in love, yes, and wants to read all of the fic, what is a recommendation that you've got for folks?
Well, it's hard because I've written a lot of it in there, but I generally, the person who started off was a writer called Thyrza, Thyrza. And she was the one who initially started writing a lot of the fic. And her fic a lot has been adaptations of the episodes. So she's done a lot of those. And I think she's a very good writer. Smile and a Song has written a lot. I think she's a really good writer. And I think it's worthwhile checking out her stuff. I don't think she's done so much lately. I sent you a few recommendations.
Yep. And they'll be in the show notes, everybody. So
there's an Avengers Assembled Discord that's run by Maru Marumo. She's a major artist for Avengers Assemble. She does that on AO3, so you can find her there. She hasn't been posting to Tumblr as much, but she's been participating in the Cap Iron Man Big Bangs and Reverse Big Bangs. So her stuff is on AO3.
Amazing.
I think a lot of people, there have been a lot of other people who've done elements of Avengers Assemble and have brought them in. And can I just mention one other tiny thing?
Absolutely.
Okay. There's the other thing that I think is worthwhile for people to check out, and it's not that big a deal and not that big a time commitment, is the Lego Avengers Reassembled. And it is a commercial for Lego, but it's available on Netflix. It's available on YouTube, but it comes in four parts. Each episode is 5 minutes long. And it's essentially, it's the MCU team. They are having a party. And Tony gets possessed by Ultron and Steve has to go save him. So I think that that's a very unexpected source of Stony stuff. I do not think there's no fic or anything, but I like to share this because you get the visit to the workshop. I'm going to go see Tony in the workshop from Steve. You get the whole Steve is really worried about Tony, and Tony turns Ultron into a coffee maker at the end. And it's got a ton of Lego humor if you like the dad joke humor of Lego shorts. So.
I love this idea of Ultron as a coffee pot, so I definitely need to check that out. Well, Never Ever, thank you so much for your time. This was incredibly rich. Everybody, make sure to check out the show notes so that you can dive into the cartoons. Thanks so much.
Thank you.